on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattinair.
Good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So happy to have you with us. Greg Bach, Carol Kane with me in studio. Calvin's on the board, and you can always join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Dog party.
And just a reminder, if you are traveling, make sure you download the Civic Media app before you hit the road. Here's our new tagline.
Unauthorized by the marketing department.
Completely unauthorized. Download the Civic Media app. It probably won't change the course of your entire life, but it shouldn't make it worse.
And there you have it.
All right. We're gonna move on. I'm really anxious to learn more about this. This started popping up in fall. It's called atypical canine respiratory disease. Started showing up in Wisconsin in late October. So Keith Paulson is the director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab at UW-Madison. Good morning, Dr. Paulson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Doc.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. Appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion about this. We're all big dog lovers here, and you have two Goldens, you said, Agnes and Martha?
Yep.
Love Agnes and Martha. how worried should dog people be about this respiratory illness that's going on around right now?
You know, it's hard to say because, you know, we've seen increases in respiratory disease in our dogs nationwide. Really for several months now. And I think you got to kind of sift through the noise, right? We need to think about what we're reading on Facebook or Google, and then really kind of think about that, about our dogs, right? And maybe when you have questions, I think there's been a lot of great review articles. Journal Sentinel just had a follow-up today of what we're seeing, why we're seeing it, and what we can do to prevent it. So I think just thinking about your dogs and your situation is a good place to start.
Now, I have Sydney and Beauregard, and I know they're fun, but they're big dogs, but they're older. Are they more susceptible, and what should I be looking for?
Yeah, so great question. I think probably what we should start with, and then we kind of can get directly into your question, is what are we seeing? What is this atypical canine respiratory disease? And, you know, we're seeing mystery dog illness and we're seeing all sorts of things, whether it's a virus or a bacteria. And what we're really seeing is really what we would consider is canine cough complex. And being reported from all over the state of Wisconsin, whether it's Kenosha all the way up to Superior, is we're seeing dogs that are coughing longer than the typical 2 weeks. And those dogs aren't really responding well to our front line of treatment. And they need to have a little bit more kind of our second line or more intensive antimicrobial therapy. And so what dogs are those? And I think really when we think about that is when we do our diagnostic tests, that's what then kind of really frustrates a lot of our veterinarians and dog owners, because many of them are coming up all negative. And one of our partner laboratories in New Hampshire, they had done some next level genomics, metagenomics, and next generation sequencing, and had some ideas of potentially what we consider a non-culturable bacteria, which is our mycoplasmas, chlamydias, that kind of similar where they don't really grow in our normal culture media. And I think that then kind of gets to your question is that, well, if we don't really know what it is, you know, what is it, right? What is this kind of atypical syndrome? Is why are dogs coughing longer than normal? We've had reports of dogs that are coughing for up to 2 months.
Oh, and my gosh.
Yeah, so the dogs are healthy, they're normal, they're active, but they still have this kind of chronic cough, which, as you can probably tell, my kids gave me something about 3 weeks ago, and it just doesn't want to go away. So that kind of gets us back to your question is, you know, well, what do I do about my dogs? And this is part of why, and what we're kind of telling all of our veterinarians and our dog owners, and we're getting lots of calls at the lab here in Madison, and we have a lab in Barron as well, is that first thing we need to do is we need to make sure that our dogs have like the, our core vaccines, our basic foundational level of protection from, you know, because we're still seeing canine influenza, and we found a new strain of canine influenza in 2015 at our lab here with Kathy Kurth and Sandra Newberry. But even now, we still are seeing those. We're still seeing Streptococcus epidemicus, which is a normal bacteria in horses, but it causes respiratory disease in dogs. And then we've actually seen some distemper, and we've also seen some of our other mycoplasma species. And what that really means to me and veterinarians in the field is that, you know, these are normal pathogens that are still out there.
Yeah.
And we haven't really been able to find a new or a different pathogen. Yet we've been looking very hard across the country. So making sure that our dogs have our core vaccines is really, really important.
Mm. Our guest, if you're just joining us, is Dr. Keith Polson. He is with the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab at UW-Madison. We're talking about this atypical canine respiratory disease. Sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Polson.
No, that's okay. So after we consider our vaccines, then we kind of need to really think about, what about my dogs, right? You said
Beauregard and Sydney.
Yeah, Beauregard and Sydney. So I would think, thinking about their risk, just like any of our risk, whether you're going to a large group setting or not, is that if they have their basic vaccines and they're otherwise healthy, you know, we don't want to bring dogs to a dog park or daycare or boarding if they're not feeling well, right? Same as we don't want to go to work. And then thinking about, you know, is my dog on some other type of treatment? Are they on an immunosuppressive drug because they have allergies? Or are they being treated with a chemotherapeutic because they have cancer? Those would be dogs that I wouldn't put into to group settings, because they're at risk for other diseases, whether it's an atypical form or kind of our normal pathogens.
Sure.
And then the next part is that if we notice something abnormal, that we contact our veterinarian with questions. So it's really an individual choice about what kind of risk you have. I bring Martha and Agnes to daycare once a week on Tuesdays, because if I didn't, they would go crazy, right? They love seeing their friends. And when we decide not to do that dog park or daycare, what are those consequences as well? So it's kind of a seesaw.
Okay.
Greg is a brand new puppy owner.
Yep. Maybell, she's 4 months old, so 4 months and some change. We just, and thank you so much for being on the show. I'm learning so much from everyone who's been giving me great advice. She just went to the vet yesterday. It's funny that you just said when you get sick, you should stay home from work, you know, and we keep our dogs home. I went to the vet last night for her final vaccination, and the guy taking care of us, he was like sniffling and sniffling. I thought, oh, are you okay? Because I actually saw a nurse crying, because I think they put a dog down. I said, are you okay? He goes, oh yeah, I'm just really under the weather. I'm like, why are you here then? But the question I had for you is, she got her final regular vaccination. Now it's okay for us to start introducing her to other dogs, maybe go to a dog park or start making those introductions, because we've got a lot of dogs in the neighborhood. And there are some I want to introduce, some I never want her to see ever, but that's fine. It's a different conversation. Right. But I forgot to ask this last night, so I figured I'd ask you if this is the first step, if we can do this.
Yeah, you bring up a great point where we were talking about older dogs with risk or dogs with treatment. Younger dogs that are maybe before their vaccine series is done is also the reason why we don't take little puppies to dog parks as well. So I would think after your last vaccine, so vaccines aren't immediate, right? They take a couple of weeks to really continue boosting that immune response.
Okay.
So I'd probably wait 2 weeks.
Okay.
Before I did that, just to kind of make sure that they're getting those good protective antibodies out there.
Okay, great. Okay. My sister has a dog, so I'm wondering for Christmas.
You know, and it's a good conversation to have with your family too. It's like, hey, how's your dog? Does your dog go and spend a lot of time at dog parks? Then maybe I would leave the dog home. But I think it's always an individual choice. It's kind of like all the other kind of individual choices that we make with whether we're eating undercooked foods like sushi or raw egg and things like that. You know, we're constantly thinking about that stuff. And, you know, these are low risk, but not zero. So you kind of need to think about, well, what's the consequence of not doing it? You know, what's going to happen with my dog or my family member?
What are we looking at when it comes to the future of this? I mean, this is a relatively new thing that we're dealing with. Do you anticipate at some point in time there might be like a inoculation, a vaccine for this particular illness in dogs?
Very, very possible if we find something different, or if it's a combination of different, like let's say we have a lot of dogs that are coming and presenting with flu and or bacteria. And then if this is an environmental condition, then maybe we would just have like, because we all had the exposure to the Canadian wildfire smoke all summer. Like what did that do? What did previous exposure to COVID do? How has that changed? So I think we could have that. And if we can, what we did in 2015, when we found that new strain of flu, we developed, or our commercial lab developed a new vaccine. So that's really the goal. If we can find something and repeat it, we haven't been able to repeat the findings from the New Hampshire lab yet, although many labs are trying, because we want to make sure that we have the best information available.
And Dr. Paulson, as you said, and I just want to reinforce this too, make sure you get your dogs vaccinated. Mm-hmm. It's really, Absolutely. Really, it's really, really, yeah. really important.
Yeah.
In the couple of minutes that we have left, because you do what you do, and now we know you have Agnes and Mabel, I have to ask you, what do your dogs... Martha and Agnes, what do your dogs get for Christmas?
Oh,
they have some rawhide chews, and they also got some new toys, which my seven-year-old has been playing with now for a couple of weeks. And she's using it to annoy her brothers, and they are very noisy, so I've had to hide them.
From your children.
Toys and chews, yes. The dogs are going to be ecstatic, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I always, people always criticize me because both my dogs have stockings that are hung from the mantle, too. I mean, they're, you know, they're my kids. And and to go even one better, Sydney's back legs have been giving her some trouble. So, for the past 3 to 4 months, I've been sleeping on the couch because she can't go up the stairs.
That is dedication. Right? You know, it just shows how important they are in our family, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
Martha and Agnes are in our pictures. You know, they are part of the family because they make our lives better.
Dr. Keith Paulson has been our guest. Thank you so very much for your time. He's the director of the Wisconsin Veterinary Diagnostic Lab at UW-Madison. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.
Have a great holiday, Doctor.
Thank you, Doctor.
And stay
Happy
close
holidays.
When we come back. White Elephant Christmas Gifts. There's some doozies on here. You're listening to Asgo's Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me in studio live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, broadcasting across the state. Good morning, Wisconsin Rapids, listening on WFHR, and a shout out to everybody in La Crosse listening on WLCX The Eagle, 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
If you ever want to call and or text, or you can leave a comment on the live stream, if you are watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Really appreciated Dr. Paulson. I thought that was really interesting.
Fantastic.
And we will definitely have him back again for all our dog-related
Let's
questions.
Let's just talk about our dogs for the next 40 minutes.
And I bet we could keep that going.
Jane, do you want to get another dog anytime soon?
When we lost Barkley 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was so painful.
Yeah.
And my mother, we always had dogs when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And when my mother had lost her second dog, and she said, I can't do it anymore. And I was always like, but I think you're missing out, Mom. Why don't you get another one? Now I know why she did that.
Understood.
I just don't think I can go through that again.
I am not looking forward to the future for me because Sydney is 13 and Beauregard is 12.
And they're both big.
And they're both big. big kids. Big,
yep.
Yeah.
So I'm not. I might be in your camp too.
Do you just think you would not get another one?
I don't know. They're both. Let me just say this. They will kill me. They will kill me. I'm almost choking up right now. Just even thinking about it.
Yep. That's that. That is just how vital they become in our lives. They really do.
Yeah. I have a friend who they put down all three of their dogs in the past year and a half because of various things. And he had a very, very zen look. He's like, I love those dogs. They made my life better. But now I'm enjoying my life without them, without worrying about food, without walks and poop bags. And he's like, I know we'll probably get another one, but he's going through his grieving and his mourning and his enjoying. And it's like, I feel like everyone has that process. Some people, like my friends, waited 18 months, 2 years before they got a dog. Another friend of mine put down his dog on Friday, bought a new dog on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I have a girlfriend
like,
that does.
Yeah, I have a friend who did that too.
I feel like I'm more in the former camp where it's like, I got to let it go. I got to like
have breathe. I need a little space. Yeah. I need a little space first.
I always, but when my mom passed, and I had this unbelievably, because I've had like 15 to 20 pets in my life.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have already crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. So all I could think of, my mom, who was not animal crazy, right? Yeah. That when she passed over, they're all like running towards her. And Bob's like, damn it, Carol, why did you have to have so many?
All these dogs.
Yeah.
I don't have enough treats.
Oh, there's plenty of treats on the other side of the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes.
Everybody gets
treats. That was the sweetest thing you've ever said.
Everybody gets treats and unlimited squeaky toys. It's just
including the humans?
Yes.
Yep.
It's all good.
Yep.
It's all good. All right. White elephants, gifts. It's a thing. That's not something we ever did in our family, but I know a lot of families do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an article in Wirecutter magazine, the 32 absolute best white elephant gifts under $25. If you have one that really sticks with you, give us a call and let us know what it was. 844-967-2789. The first one on here I want just because it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
No, you don't need that.
I don't need this at all, but I want it, and it's $26, and it's a garlic crusher that looks like a little Dracula.
You know.
Yeah. I mean.
I think that is so funny.
For $26?
Yeah.
For a little stocking stuffer for Jane? Why not? It's on Amazon.
But see, this is the problem I have with this article. White elephant is not about buying a cool gift and taking it to a party. It's about taking a present you didn't want, or what we do with our friends every year when we can do it, just finding something in the house.
Like, and giving them that.
Oh, literally, here's the autobiography of Barry Sanders that I'll never read. Who wants it? Like, these are great presents. Don't get me wrong. I really love these gifts. And
it's the
garlic smasher.
A Toto Dracula garlic crusher.
Right. Well, I told Jane once that Elizabeth, who is not a girly girl by any stretch of the imagination, she's not happy unless she's covered in clay and, you know, that's what she does for a living. Yeah. But she got one Christmas a music box shaped like a little castle. It was white. And when you open the door, it was not a music box. It was a jewelry box. And when you open the door, this little ballerina is spinning around and that's playing this music.
I'm embarrassed to tell you that I still have one of those.
Oh, really?
That jewelry box with the ballerina. And I still have it.
She looked at me like, what does this have?
What am I supposed to do with this?
Well, yeah. And so it went exactly what you said, straight into the white elephant bag.
Exactly. I mean, some of these are very practical. Some of them are a sign of sadness, like the power shower wine holder. Like, dude, you can wait till you get out of the shower.
That seems a touch over the top.
But I've always been taught that a white elephant is you give away the present you don't want, and then you get to see the, like, because one person's foot massaging thing is another person's, oh my God, a foot massager. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like that's the best part, but these are things I want.
There's also a Cody Foster and Company Taylor Swift Christmas ornament.
May I repeat? Something that I want.
$25 from Paper Source. It does not look like her even remotely.
No, it doesn't. No.
Not even remotely.
Yeah, not at all. No. She doesn't look like anything.
$15, you can get a nice smelly thing for the inside of your car.
But doesn't
that seems excessive.
I love the sushi tray, but they're actual socks. They look like sushi, rainbow socks, sushi socks box.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice. Unkillable kitchen plants. I could go for that.
Same. Ooh, I would totally take a constellation mug. Oh!
Well, we will put this all in the show notes when the show is over.
We're just looking at the internet.
If you're I think these are funny. And again, I can see where someone would maybe not like their Dracula garlic press, but I would happily take it off your hands.
It's just a conversation piece just to sit on the counter. You go, what the heck is this?
News coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cat socks.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Carol Kane, Greg Bach are with me live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. We've got Calvin on the board, and you are always invited to join us. Call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We were talking about dogs earlier in the hour. Dr. Keith Paulson was here, and we were talking about this new respiratory dog illness that's going around, and that got us talking about losing dogs and then replacing dogs, and I just did want to do a little housekeeping, and Angie from Monroe texted in, listening in Madison, I will always own a dog. I'm an amazing owner. Good for you.
All right.
I just put my baby of 15 years down last year. I'm so sorry. I have her buddy who is blind. He is not fond of other dogs, but I've got plenty of cats and chickens. I plan on adopting a bonded pair next time. Have a wonderful holiday. Thank you, Angie. A wonderful holiday to you as well. I used to work with a woman who only adopts senior dogs with medical issues.
I know somebody that does that.
She has the biggest heart in the world.
Wow.
And her whole thing is, I'm going to give them the best last months they've ever had.
My buddy Bjorn does that too.
It's
right.
What a heart.
Yeah.
What a
heart. I don't know how he does it, but it's amazing.
It is. And then our friend Lynn from Oconomowoc texted in too. I put my Beagle mix down in 1986. I can still remember sobbing. I have never had another pet.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a question. What is, Angie from Monroe said, bounded or bonded? What does that mean?
A bonded pair. So,
brother and sister?
Or they're just friends.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, and they need to be adopted together.
Aww.
That will happen. Sure. That will happen with some animals.
It does. And if that's the situation, most of the shelters will have that. They are to be adopted together.
Okay. I know that Bridget has already brought up. She's like, you know what she would love?
Oh, geez.
A little brother. I'm like,
You've only had her for 3 weeks.
I know. That's but she and she is 78% kidding. But it's that other 22% I got to watch out for.
They are pack animals, though. Beauregard never leaves Sydney. Never. Never. And when I took her to the groomer, he walked around for 4 hours crying. I was like, dude, I'm going to go. I'll bring her back. But, I mean, he didn't calm down until I got her back from the groomers.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So
I think I'd sooner get a cat. Because I feel like because Maybell has so much energy. And she's like, it's really coming out. Like it's
she's relaxing.
She's relaxing. She's jumping. She's all paws in your face. Look at me. Love me. Kiss me. I love you. There might need to be a balance. Cause I don't know if I could do two of those at the same time.
Two puppies doing zoomies around your living room is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot.
A cat just going, all right, chill out, bro.
All right. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What are your Christmas traditions? We're just a couple of days away. Monday is Christmas. So we're going to spend the next half hour just talking about what you do at your household. What's the thing you eat? When do you do presents?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. It's Christmas morning. When I got married to Lou, it worked out really nicely because his family did Christmas Eve.
Perfect.
And then we did Christmas morning. I love advent calendars. I love driving around and seeing the Christmas lights.
Advent calendars can be so elaborate.
Oh, yeah. They're especially if you get some of the European ones, they're fantastic.
Wow.
And I know this is going to sound stupid, but I still put out cookies and milk for Santa.
You do your thing, Carol. Who cares what other people think?
That's adorable.
You know who doesn't like that? Parents who prank their kids. They suck. All right.
My mother would do that. She would put out cookies and milk for Santa and then a little bowl of sugar for the reindeer.
Oh, we always put...
Oh, we did carrots.
We did carrots and some carrots and celery. It's interesting. I was talking about this the other night. You know, the kids my niece and nephew, when they were little, they would always do the letter to Santa, put out the cookies and the milk and the veggies for the reindeer. And I would always write a letter back as Santa to them. And that would happen every year. And that was just like clockwork. And then one year I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. We're all doing this. She's 16. He's 13. Clearly, this has now just become a thing where no one can bring up the topic and just be like, we're good. Because
you don't need to do that anymore.
Because it didn't feel so much like with you, it's a tradition. You do it because you do it. It almost felt like, all right, it's time to do Santa. And no one was like,
you can stop now.
We all know I'm eating the cookies and half of the veggies. It's fine. But yeah, that was a tradition for a long time.
That's really sweet that you did that.
Yeah. Oh, I loved writing the letter from Santa.
And would you just compliment them as good human beings, or
I would say I say I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and enjoy your presents, and you've been wonderful, you've been good little boy and girl, and always, you know, be good to your parents and that kind of thing. And then I start talking about flat Earth. I really get deep into that letter. Yeah. Like here's the thing is, y'all are being fooled right now. This is not a round Earth.
That's when they stopped the lynchers from Santa.
Wow,
that was what killed it. Calvin, what happens in your household? What are the rules of Christmas?
Pretty standard. It's actually been a fight in my house the last few Christmases. I think we should move away from waiting till Christmas morning to open presents do it on Christmas Eve before we go to bed.
Cut his mic.
But my sister will not go along with it, so we're still getting up before we go to my grandma's house to open presents on Christmas morning.
So is it the early hour that you have a problem with, Calvin?
Well, yeah, that's my thing is, like, we're past the whole Santa Claus thing. So if we have to leave the house at 9 o'clock, why not sleep for an extra half hour?
Oh, you're leaving that early?
Well, yeah, we usually eat breakfast at 10 o'clock on Christmas.
Oh, my. Okay.
You're a breakfast family. Okay.
I'm starting to see your point. Okay. Yeah. We have a similar situation, but not as time. Woo. Oh, wow.
It might be 11. I might be exaggerating it a little bit.
But still, so you're getting up at 7 o'clock. I'm assuming around 7 so you guys can get ready. And
at then least do, by 8, yeah.
And then do
sure.
prezzies and then get ready to head out the door.
There's
and,
just something magical, though, about coming downstairs and having all the presents
absolutely.
On, you know, on the floor, underneath the tree. You plug in the tree, go get some coffee and a little piece of Kringle. Mm-hmm. And
a little eggnog with a little nip of
a little brandy.
Medicine.
a little brandy in there.
That's one thing I cannot stand. Eggnog.
Oh, Jay and I will drink your leftovers, seriously, because we'll. Mm. I was glug glug glug.
Calvin, an opinion on nog?
I can't say I've ever actually tried it, but I'm going to assume I don't like it.
Why?
I don't know. Isn't it similar to milk? Kinda.
No, it's a sweet, creamy treat.
I don't know. I don't really like drinking milk all
He's
that
not
much.
A milk fan, yeah.
So I'm not a milk guy, so I kind of just extrapolated that I wouldn't like it that much.
Wow.
We may have to bring some in next week and just to give you a little taste test. And I am curious though about now. So what is your breakfast? What is your Christmas breakfast like?
So they always make kielbasa and ham, and then usually eggs for whoever wants them, but I don't usually eat eggs. And then usually an egg bake and some sort of potatoes.
That sounds pretty good. I think I'm coming with you.
Or you can come to my sister's house because we do almost the exact same thing.
You do breakfast?
We do. So we do Christmas Eve is at my sister's house. It has been since the kids were born. We stay up. We watch Christmas movies. We drink eggnog. We talk. The kids get their one present on Christmas Eve, which are new pajamas for the year because they still get pajamas.
Sure.
Then we do all the other presents on Christmas morning. We go through the presents. It's usually me, my wife, the kids, and the family. So a few of us. And then when it's all done, they make breakfast, which includes an egg bake.
Okay.
Bacon, pancakes, sometimes some, what do they call it? A monkey bread. They'll make monkey bread.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so it's just a nice little breakfast, and then we have to like eat, and then Bridget and I have to get on the road to go to my mother-in-law's house for the rest of that Christmas, which
is a whole other thing.
It's a whole other thing. I love them so, so very much. I knocked it out of the park with in-laws, absolutely. But last year, finally, because there are three siblings, me, our Aunt Sam, mother, my mom will show up sometimes. So there'll be up to 9 of us in there. It used to be one present at a time opening up. So last year we
that's what we do.
So finally we adopted, which I've been talking about for years, which was everyone grab a present, everyone open at the same time, kind of show it off. Next round. Because one year we didn't eat dinner till almost 8 o'clock.
I dated someone who was in a family of 9. Ugh. And they would do the same thing where everyone took a turn to open a present. It would take hours.
Yeah.
Hours.
It gets hot in that room, too.
It does.
And you
it
get
does.
Drunk because there's so much champagne and wine.
Texter listening on WAUK, my family will prioritize the Packers before anything else when they play on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Do they usually play on either of those days?
They are playing on, they're playing Sunday.
Okay.
Which is Christmas, is Christmas Eve day.
Right.
There you go.
Well, they're going down to Carolina.
Which is a game they should win, I hear.
Well, it should.
That's what people are saying.
I said by 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. And and folks, I said this yesterday. If Carol's right, if Packers win by 2 touchdowns, I'll eat herring on air. And I think herring is the fish of the devil.
Well, and that was my father's tradition. Yeah. It was not pickled herring. It was creamed herring.
My mother loves pickled herring.
Every Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I love it.
That was it. And we would also have punch. I know. It was the 60s, man.
And you say parents weren't mean to their kids.
Didn't you do fondue, too?
And then when we had fondue. And again, there were 6 kids with mom and dad. And it would take forever for everyone to get enough to eat.
Yeah.
Because one little piece of meat at a time.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? One little piece of chicken.
Kids, the punch and creamed herring is ready. Come to the table.
The punch and creamed herring. There's a draw.
Oh, yeah.
What are your traditions? 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Another text. Add amaretto and or rum to the eggnog.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we were talking about that. I had not known that eggnog would contain alcohol until a few years ago. I just always saw it as a kid's Christmas treat.
Eggnog.
I didn't know they put booze in it, too. But I live in Wisconsin. Why didn't I make that connection?
Brandy goes with everything, Greg Bach, when you're in Wisconsin.
It's the best in old fashions. I like a brand. I like a brandy, old fashioned better than a bourbon.
The other thing I think we used to do, maybe very pretty, kind of rarely though, was we would have grasshoppers.
Oh, okay.
Mom and Dad would make grasshoppers.
Do you even know what a grasshopper is, Calvin? Besides the animal?
I know it's minty, but that's about it.
Okay. It's a minty ice cream drink.
Yeah.
That was very popular again in the 60s and 70s. I'm sure people still have them.
Oh, of course they do.
It's been a long, long time.
Just another way to let booze not taste like booze.
Yeah, exactly. And what's the golden...
Golden Cadillac?
Golden Cat. Those are yummy, too.
Mm-hmm. That's got... I can't think of it. Galliano.
Galliano.
Mm-hmm.
We got a texture from the 612 listening to WMDX. Lynn. Oh, it's Lynn. My elder sister married into a family with two sons, and not only did they open presents one at a time, but they also carefully peeled the tape off so they could reuse the paper.
Oh, my mom used to do that.
Oh.
My mother has a tradition of putting all of the tape on every present.
My father would tape things. You needed a chainsaw to get. He would tape every edge of the box.
Yeah.
Was taped shut.
Did your mothers do this too? My mother has a tradition too. It's where she gives you a present and then halfway through you opening, you realize she gave you the wrong present and will tear it out of your hand like you were a criminal.
That was for your sister.
Yeah. That's not for you.
Nancy, I see you on the line. Stay with us, please. We're going to keep this going. Share with us your favorite Christmas traditions, 844-967-2789. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm dreaming of white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and the children listen to hear sleigh bells and the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write.
May those days, may your days be merry and bright. Hand me all your Christmas Eve.
MacDiamonds.com.
I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, Greg Bach with me. Live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, we've got Calvin on the board. You can always join us. Call or text 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. The couple of minutes we have left before the top of the hour news and then the Todd Albaugh Show from noon to 2 p.m. Taking your calls and your texts, your Christmas traditions, what happens in your household, what thing do you have to have to make it officially Christmas?
We have to have pizza on Christmas Eve, too. We've been eating pizza on Christmas Eve probably for 35 years, if not longer.
And is it a specific pie?
It used to be, I'm sure when we were younger, it was Pizza Hut and Domino's, but now it's always Papa Murphy's. We love the take and bakes.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, there's always pizza on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, I like it. Nancy from Wanakee is on the line. Good morning, Nancy. Thank you so much for joining As Goes Wisconsin. What's your Christmas tradition?
Hi, my family's Norwegian, and we're a farm family. So we have lutefisk and lefse with mashed potatoes and meatballs and cranberry sauce.
Yeah,
and
we do love.
Then in the evening, we'd have Tom and Jerry's, and then on Christmas Day, we would have oyster stew.
Ooh! Now, Tom and Jerry's. What is a Tom and Jerry, Nancy?
So it's made out of egg whites and powdered sugar and nutmeg. And then you put like a half a shot of brandy and half a shot of rum in there. It's a hot drink with hot water. You can buy the mixture at grocery stores.
O&H where I went this morning to get the Kringle had some.
Oh, they did?
They had the mix. They had the mix. Yep.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Have a very, very Merry Christmas. You do. You
Lefse.
Did Lefse. Not Lutefisk, though.
No. I love Lutefisk, but nobody makes it. Because it really stinks up the house. So, I mean, if you want to have a lutefisk and lefse dinner, you find a church someplace, and they'll have one. But we always, always have lefse.
And is
always.
It just lefse with butter?
Just butter for us. Okay. A lot of people put butter and sugar, and then you roll it up. But ours
like
is
a,
just...
Like a little...
looks like a little...
Like a little crepe.
Yeah. Right? It looks like a little white, brown, polka-dotted cigar.
Okay.
I don't know why. A little crepe.
A little rolling. Like a
is
little
Is there,
crepe.
You were speaking, Jane, about the grasshopper. Is there a Christmas cocktail that you make specifically?
For Christmas?
Yeah. Or is it just wine o'clock for 2 days? That's what it is for me.
No, I like Bombay Sapphire martinis or vodka on the rocks. That's okay. It.
All right.
That's what nothing I too, that's what no, I do.
Nothing too foo.
No.
Nothing too foo.
I'm very madman.
All right.
Just give me a tumbler full of vodka and I'm good to
and
go.
And a pack of unfiltered Lucky Strikes and I'm having Christmas.
844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Taking your Christmas traditions, that things you must do over the holidays. Bill from Oconomowoc. Bill, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you. I can't believe how what you're talking about is so Wisconsin. And I'm wondering, is that limited to Wisconsin or the Midwest? Because you touched on all the traditions and the drinks, everything else. But one thing you didn't touch upon, and I want to say this tongue-in-cheek, we had also, coming from Festivus to the rest of us, after the second or third rounds of drinks, we had the airing of grievances.
Which always makes the new year real comfortable.
That's funny. And Bill, what would you remember? What were some of the biggest grievances?
Well, look, harken back to the 60s. What were on the hot topics? Kennedy... Vietnam, oh my gosh. But none of it came on until it was inspired with alcohol.
Oh yeah, that always helps.
Yeah.
That third, fourth round of brandy old fashions and things start getting a little looser.
Marry my grievances. LBJ, you are a schmuck.
What are you doing this holiday, Bill? Where are you going to be?
Where am I going to be?
Yeah.
At my daughter's house. Excuse me, at our house. I'm sorry. My house. And one thing we do celebrate at with the Festivus for the rest of us, I've got two young grandsons close in age, and they have strength against each other.
Oh, they do feats of strength?
Oh, my God.
Yes. So we do have part, you know, it's amazing what we morph into. By the way, that's my dog in the back seat of my car.
I was like, is that your grandson?
I wasn't sure if it was human or animal. Thank you so very much, Bill. We really appreciate you calling. And as always, thank you so very much for listening. All the best to you and yours. We got a couple of minutes. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
We always, on Christmas Eve, we go down. Actually, she's my best friend. And she lives a half a block away. And she always has us over with her family. And so we celebrate Christmas Eve at her house. And then we go to... I host, or we go to my brother's or my sister's or whatever on Christmas Day.
And are you hosting this year?
No.
You're not?
My brother is. Yeah.
Nice.
No, my brother Rick. But I, you know, I always take enough food for the masses, though. That's kind of like my MO. Like, I walk in with like a half a dozen appetizers and...
Yeah. I was in line to get a gift card yesterday at a grocery store, and this lady was yelling, not at her friend, but a story where she was complaining. So she was very high in volume, and she was like... Yeah, I said I was bringing $200 worth of lasagna, and they knew I was bringing $200 because I said $200 in lasagna. I'm like, who are you feeding? And get new friends who, like, you got to get in fights over this stuff.
It's got to be a big, I mean, I know people that have, like, 50 people.
I can't even imagine.
Hot pass.
I give you major props if you can handle something like that.
That's where I'm happy that my family is like a little, not fractured, but like I have family all over the county. I have enough to do that.
Sure.
We don't do that.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Ours isn't like, ours is manageable. It's like 15.
That's still pretty good size.
That's
good size. We're smaller. We're probably at about 10.
Oh, wow. Well,
and I'll be going over to my sister's. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
She did all the work.
The biggest discussion that we ever have is, are we doing prime rib or are we doing ham? And I'm always in the prime rib camp because I'm not a ham pan.
I would have loved to try ham for Christmas one year. We've never done that. We always do turkey.
Start a new tradition.
I'm not going to try to bring that into the Patty Becker household. She's turkey.
Thank you all so very much for calling and texting and listening. It means everything. Merry, merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays to you and yours. Be safe if you're traveling over the next couple of days. I hope you find some joy over the coming days and that you get the chance to share it. Stay here. Stay close. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Merry, merry.